Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
It's been in the news a lot in recent weeks. PA driver's licenses are no longer going to be accepted in certain locations because they are not compliant with the Federal Real ID Act. Just what is that? What does this latest news really mean to Pennsylvanians, and should they be worried about it? Is this yet another example of the federal government's overreach? My guest today is State Representative Daryl Metcalf. He's a Republican representing the 12th Legislative District, which encompasses parts of Butler County. Thanks, Representative Metcalf, for being with us.
Good to be with you again, Diane. Thanks for the invitation.
So you guys are back in session week of the 23rd, is that right? 23rd?
Well, we were sworn in on the first Tuesday of January, just a couple weeks ago. So we officially kicked off the new session with our swearing in here in Harrisburg. It really kicks off constitutionally on the 1st of December is when the new legislative terms begin. And then we went into swearing in on the 3rd of January, and Monday on the 23rd, the House of Representatives will be back in voting session, and we expect to organize our committees at that time and prepare to receive legislation from the Speaker, and then we'll be able to hold our hearings and informational meetings and voting meetings to start moving legislation, such as the legislation that we expect to move quickly in my committee to reduce the size of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives from 203 members to 151 members.
Oh my goodness, are they actually going to approve that?
We passed it through last session, both the House and the Senate.
Wow.
So now if we pass it this session through the House and the Senate with the identical language, then it will be going to the voters to have the voters give their approval or disapproval of it, which I would expect that we're going to see 70-80% of the citizens of Pennsylvania approve reducing the size of the legislature.
Right, and that's a constitutional amendment.
That's correct.
Reducing the House from 203 to 151 members.
That is correct.
Okay, wow, great. That would be good.
I think it would set a good example. I think if the House of Representatives is willing to reduce its own body by 25%, then it would give us the ability to lead by example and tell the executive branch, the judicial branch that has more than 1,000 judges in Pennsylvania, when there's only 253 legislators, that we should reduce the sizes of their branches also and save the taxpayers significant dollars.
You said there are 1,000 judges in Pennsylvania?
Over 1,000 judges in Pennsylvania when you have 253
goodness.
Legislators and judges. They make higher salaries, they have better retirement plans, they have their own junkets that we've seen reported on in the past. So there's a lot of spending that goes on within the judiciary branch that the taxpayers aren't aware of because the press doesn't report on it as much.
Right, for sure.
I think they fear the courts more than they fear the legislature, because if you get in trouble and you go before a judge, they can throw the book at you, whereas the legislature, they're always critical of the legislature, and the legislature certainly deserves it at times because of the spending that goes on down here and things like that. But the judicial branch could clean up its act and save the taxpayers a lot of money, and I think as the legislative body, if we reduce our own size, that'll give us good standing to say that we're leading by example. Now let's reduce the courts, let's reduce the executive branch that spends the bulk of the money.
Right. Now, would that also, that would not require a constitutional amendment. That would just be them deciding to do that on their own, those branches.
Well, the executive branch and the judicial branch, there would be certain statutes that could be passed to reduce the sizes of those entities.
Okay. But to get their cooperation, it would be good for you guys to lead by example, like you said. Okay,
right.
let's switch to the Real ID Act. Just what is the Real ID Act?
Well, the Real ID Act is a law that was passed by Congress back in May of 2005. So it's a 12-year-old statute, a statute that was going to impose new regulations on state driver's licensing. In order for citizens to use their state driver's license to access federal facilities, to fly, and other things that they would use their driver's license for nationally. So many people feared that this was an overreach by the federal government to try and push forward with a national ID. Now, issuance of driver's license has been always been a state duty, a state responsibility. It's a power that's been claimed, rightly so, by the states under the Constitution, and especially under the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution. So we now have the federal government in 2005 trying to tell states that you will have to comply with all of these criteria in the new law. And some of those criteria are very burdensome to the taxpayers, to drivers in Pennsylvania, and ultimately could put the privacy information of our drivers at risk. One of the things that this new law would require is for us to allow Pennsylvania driver license information to be compiled into a national-type database that would be in there with all of the other states and that other states would have access to.
So it would be a national ID, basically be a national ID.
And that's what the fear has been. It would be a national ID for anybody that drives a car, essentially. And so what it also does is it requires that when you have your driver's license renewed, that you would have to go to PennDOT, bring your raised seal birth certificate, bring two forms that show your residency before you would have your driver's license issued. And then if you change any vital information through the years, that you'd have to go back and do the same thing over again. Or I believe it's at 16 years that you would have to do that all over again and bring your birth certificate back. And so it's going to create a lot of hurdles for Pennsylvania drivers to have their driver's license reissued. With those hurdles, you have extra bureaucratic activity. You're going to need extra people working at PennDOT to facilitate collecting that information, verifying that information. So, of course, that's going to drive up the cost that's involved with a driver's license. The federal government was providing small amounts of money to states to implement this law, very small. In Pennsylvania, we were estimating that the new cost of this over a nine-year period would be hundreds of millions of dollars to implement the Real ID, and a very small amount of that would be reimbursed from federal tax dollars, which of course still come out of our federal tax pocket as taxpayers.
Oh, absolutely.
So, There's a lot of problems with the Real ID law. Back in 2012, during the Corbett administration, the Pennsylvania legislature, almost unanimously, I think the Senate passed it unanimously, and then the House, I think there was maybe five people that voted against it, that we passed a bill that pushed back against the federal Real ID Act and said that we were not going to allow the governor or PennDOT to implement Real ID in Pennsylvania. We were one of a number of states that did that. Currently, I believe there's about half the states in the country that are not in compliance with Real ID, and that's after 12 years of the law being enacted. So what the federal government did in October of last year was they notified the states that are not in compliance, which, again, is about half the country that's not in compliance, and some of the U.S. territories. I think in total, it was about 32 states and territories that were not in compliance as of October of 2016, and they notified us that our citizens would not be able to use their IDs any longer to access certain federal facilities like nuclear power plants, I believe military bases,
right,
and certain other federal facilities as of the end of January of this year, and that January of 2018, that our citizens would not be able to use their Pennsylvania driver's license to fly any longer, that they would have to use their passport or a passport card if we didn't comply with the Real ID Act. So,
and there are some states, like as of a year ago, I read an article a year ago, where it was dated a year ago, where there's five states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, New Mexico, and Washington, that haven't even, they have not even tried to become compliant, or they've not even requested an extension, you know, for being compliant.
Right. Now, there have been some extensions granted.
Uh-huh.
Our leaders in the House and leaders joining our top leaders in the House, joining the top leaders in the Senate, joining with Governor Wolf, just last week sent a letter to the federal government asking for an extension as they've granted to some other states. I have a letter that I'm currently developing and working on with dozens of my colleagues already telling me they want to sign on to the letter that I'm going to be sending to our new president after he's officially in after the inauguration. We'll be sending him a letter and copying our congressional delegation to ask for the president to work with Congress, to work with the states, to resolve these issues that we have with the Real ID Act that are creating potential privacy issues for our citizens with this database that they want to create, mm-hmm. this act, that will help our citizens to continue to be able to use their driver's licenses to fly and to access some of these federal facilities, because our licenses already meet the majority of the criteria. We have a secure driver's license in Pennsylvania. It's not secure as the feds want it to be. But it's secure from our perspective, and we've initiated a number of changes over the years with it to make sure that it's a secure form of identification. It is so secure that when we actually passed the voter ID law, that governor's administration at that time created another ID that they would utilize for the voter ID, because certain people were claiming they couldn't get a driver's license because
it wasn't secure. And that's what I was thinking of as you were giving the list of IDs that they'd have to come up with, take to PennDOT to get the driver's license. You know, you mentioned birth certificate and all that kind of stuff. Like, how about all these people who supposedly don't have those, and with the voter ID law, that was an issue.
Right. Well, it's interesting that the federal government, through the federal courts, have been striking down one
mm-hmm, exactly.
common sense voter ID law after
yeah.
another. And then on the other hand, they turn around and tell us, well, you're going to have to get this secure ID that we're
mm-hmm.
demanding now, so that you can fly and go to a nuclear power plant and do all these other things.
Right.
But they want to object to our voter ID laws, which we've allowed our driver's license to be used for, because we believe that it is a secure form of identification, and you don't have to go through the bureaucratic trouble that's being created by this new federal law. It's just, once again, it's another example of federal overreach. It's a reason why so many people voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's why he will be sworn in, because the citizens of our state and this nation are fed up with bureaucracy and Congress making these dictates from on high to the people of this country and our state that cost us more money and create more hassle in our lives, at the same time as doing nothing mm-hmm. to make sure that we're more secure or more safe in our daily lives.
Right. And there's some states like California that are issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens.
Right.
How does, if you're talking about trying to fight terrorism, but yet you are issuing driver's licenses to illegal aliens, and that's all that's needed if it's a Real ID Act compliant driver's license, they can get on a military base or a nuclear power plant or any of that stuff. But yet California doesn't care, I guess, or worried about that.
And that originally there was some, you know, that were advocating for Real ID because it was being purported to fix the problem that we're having in this nation with some of these sanctuary cities,
mm-hmm.
sanctuary states that are trying to facilitate driver's licenses being given to foreign nationals that are not here legally.
Yeah.
But there's another way to fix that. We already have laws on the books federally that you're not allowed to aid and abet somebody
mm-hmm.
That's illegally here. And when a state is facilitating these types of acts, there ought to be some prosecutions from the federal government against those individuals that are facilitating that within those states, so that we crack down on their using government taxpayers' resources to help people break our law.
Yeah, but especially with this administration, you know, they've been interpreting or reinterpreting the laws however they want, ignoring like the marijuana laws and marriage laws and such as that. And it's just, like you're saying, Trump, with him becoming our next president, I think he definitely points to the fact that his election definitely points to the fact that Americans are fed up with the federal government being so overreaching. And, reaching into every aspect of our lives. And I think the election of Donald Trump just pointed to that frustration that Americans are feeling when it comes to government overreach. And this Real ID Act is, had good intentions. It happened, you know, they passed it less than 4 years after 9/11, but yet it's just...
The problem is the federal government is not allowed to, under the Constitution, to become involved in so many areas of our lives that are not spelled out for them to be involved in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The areas that they're given duties and powers in our lives are really just spelled out within the Constitution. And
mm-hmm.
if it's not given to them in the Constitution, they don't have that power. And one of those powers that they're now trying to exercise is to regulate our driver's licenses at the state level. And that power was not given to them in the U.S. Constitution. So they are trying to intrude into our lives once again, this federal overreach, to become involved in an issue that they have no business being involved in. You know, the federal government needs to secure our border, and if they would secure the border, then a lot of the problems that we have within our country of some states giving out driver's licenses to people they shouldn't would be resolved at the border.
Yeah, that's true.
So they don't exercise the powers that they're supposed to, but then they want to overreach and try and take powers for themselves to exercise that they never had any business claiming.
Yeah. Now, it's my understanding that, the law gives the U.S. Department of Homeland Security the ability to define the, quote, official purposes that, the state driver's licenses can be used. And as you mentioned, currently the official uses are defined as boarding commercially operated airline flights and entering federal buildings and nuclear power plants. So basically, the Secretary of Homeland Security can redefine official purposes.
Well, that's certainly going to be another problem. As I've talked with staff and we've been working on this letter, and as I've tried to convey to my colleagues, I think it's very important for people to recognize, as we're talking about this issue, as people are hearing the news stories, I mean, there's been several news stories, there'll be more news stories about this because the feds are trying to create this big stir with scaring people into thinking that they won't be able to board a plane with their driver's license now because Pennsylvania hasn't become compliant. Well, we didn't become compliant for a reason. We actually passed a law saying we would not become compliant because of all of the problems created by this federal law that they have no business passing. My hope is that that the Trump administration will work with Congress and work with the states to resolve this unconstitutional law that was passed by Congress back in 2005. They're not allowed to be involved in our driver's licenses as they've tried to dictate through this new law. It's going to create a huge cost to our states, to our state taxpayers. It's going to create a huge cost to our drivers and a huge hassle to our drivers when they're trying to comply with it, when they have to get their driver's license reissued. And as my colleagues, many of them are telling me they want to sign on to my letter, I'm going to go to the federal government on this issue. I'm going to have my office call and talk with more of my legislative colleagues to ensure that they know that no matter how this works out, if this law isn't repealed by Congress, if the Trump administration doesn't take a hard look at this and come to the same conclusion that we have, that this law is a federal overreach, that it's unconstitutional, and thereby that they would not enforce those areas of it that are unconstitutional.
Right.
If that doesn't happen, then you have two things that are going to happen. If we do comply, then you're going to have our citizens up in arms, outraged, as they start to renew their driver's licenses over the next 4 years, and as each and every one of the millions of drivers have to go into a PennDOT office, bring a raised seal birth certificate that they may or may not already have, and bring two forms of ID and wait in lines to have their driver's license renewed that would routinely happen very quickly currently under the current law and under the current enforcement. So that will happen if we comply. If we don't comply, then you'll have our citizens being hassled at the airports and not allowed to board aircraft next year, 2008, with their driver's license. And for anybody that works in federal facilities or has to go to some of these federal facilities, they're going to have an extra hassle and have to either carry a passport or a passport card until we get this resolved, unless we get an extension. So, so it's just either way, if we comply, if we don't comply, either way there's going to be extra problems for our citizens, but I think there's going to be a lot more problems if we comply, because if we comply, that means that we're going to be conceding to the federal government that we will allow them to once again tread on our Constitution, to tread on the rights of our citizens, and to create extra hassle and extra cost for our citizens instead of standing up to them like we should.
Absolutely. Although I know that in the Senate, Senator Kim Ward is co-sponsorship amendment going around that she wants to repeal Act 38, which that was the law that you guys passed in 2012 to say we're not going to become compliant. And also I understand that State Rep. Ed Nielsen, a Democrat from Philly, has also authored a bill to repeal Act 38.
And it doesn't surprise me that a Democrat might do something like that. But what shocks me is that a Republican senator would.
Yeah.
And that's what I sent out to my colleagues over email. I said, if you're ready to bow to Congress on this issue, I hope you've read the fine print that your citizens are going to have to go in with their raised seal birth certificates with two forms of ID that show residency. that we're going to have to pay all these additional costs. I mean, it's just on and on and on, the problems that are created by this law. And we're elected to fulfill the duties that we have under our state constitution and under our federal constitution that we swear to uphold and defend at the mm-hmm. beginning of the session, which I opened up your show with talking about swearing-in day.
Right.
Swear to uphold and defend the constitution of our state and nation on that day. The Senate did also. There's no excuse for us allowing the federal government to violate the constitution. We need to fight the feds on this, and we need to stop them from this overreach.
I totally agree, but Governor Wolf, which doesn't surprise me, but I guess he said in a recent press conference, I'm trying to get support from the legislature to, this is you know, with him announcing his ask for an extension from Jay Johnson, the Secretary of Homeland Security. Wolf said, I'm trying to get support from the legislature to say, okay, you made your point, let's join this. So Wolf is totally in support of Pennsylvania becoming compliant to the Real ID Act.
Right. Well,
maybe he hasn't read the fine print either.
I don't think he has. I don't think Wolf has read the fine print on very much.
Yeah.
but the one thing that Wolf has going against him is that we have stronger majorities in the Republican
That's
House
true.
And Senate than
mm-hmm.
we've had in the previous session, and mm-hmm. we passed this as Republican majorities under the Corbett administration. The majority of us that were here then and voted for it, I hope that my colleagues are not willing to bow to Congress on this. I hope that my colleagues are not willing to say, okay, we were just bluffing, let's go ahead and comply. I hope the majority of my colleagues are willing to stand up for the mm-hmm. rights of our taxpayers and rights of our citizens and to stand up for our constitutions.
And that's what you guys have voted in for. I mean, the voters of Pennsylvania want someone who's willing to stand up for their rights and do that in the halls of power in Harrisburg.
Well, that's it. You know, it's what Trump's going to D.C. Mm-hmm. to drain the swamp.
Yep.
We've got our own swamp in Harrisburg. And when you hear comments coming out of Wolf like he wants to comply with this mm-hmm. act that's going to create extra costs for the state government, extra costs for drivers, extra hassle for drivers, potentially setting our driver's license information up for each one of our citizens that have a driver's license to be hacked to ultimately cause a violation of their privacy mm-hmm. and maybe be utilized for identity theft. When you hear him being willing to bow to Congress on that, you recognize that in Harrisburg, in our swamp, Wolf is one of our very big swamp monsters.
Yeah.
So it's time to deal with this issue, and it's time to make sure that we stand up for our citizens and stand up against the congressional intrusion into our lives.
So should citizens of Pennsylvania call their state senators and state representatives and say, do not support these two bills that have been introduced in the respective houses?
I would say that most definitely citizens that are interested in protecting the privacy of their information and protecting their pockets and their pocketbooks, that they should call their senator, they should call their representatives in the Pennsylvania legislature, they should call their congressional representatives in both the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, that they should call the governor's office, and that they should call on our new president, our president-elect, to strike quickly at this unconstitutional intrusion into our lives and into our states and help us resolve this with Congress repealing the Real ID Act.
Fantastic. So contact everyone. Let them know we don't want this. How can folks contact you if they have any questions?
My website is repmetcalfe.com, repmetcalfe.com. My Harrisburg number is 717-783-1707. That's 717-783-1707, and you can reach me either way or stop by and see me at one of my offices, either in Butler County or down here at the Capitol.
Okay, fantastic. And thank you so much for being there. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Diane. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you and to help inform some of your listeners today on a very important issue.
Absolutely. You take care and have a good week.
You too, Diane. Take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.